This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Chester. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky Tuesday said Russia launched a deadly missile attack on the nation earlier in the day. AP correspondent Charles de Ledesma reports.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says two Russian ballistic missiles struck an educational facility and nearby hospital in central eastern Ukraine, killing over 40 people and wounding around 180 others. The strike occurred in the city of Poltava, the capital of the region of the same name. It lies 70 miles from the Russian border. In a video, Zelensky says one of the buildings of the Institute of Communications was partially destroyed. People found themselves under the rubble, but many were saved. The strike appears to be one of the deadliest carried out by Russian forces since the war began. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
The head of the United Nations nuclear watchdog, Rafael Grossi, said Tuesday he spoke with Ukrainian President Zelensky and other Ukrainian energy officials Tuesday before traveling to the Russian-occupied Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. International Atomic Energy Agency Chief Grossi had described the situation at Zaporizhzhia, Europe's largest nuclear plant, as very fragile following fresh attacks near the site in central Ukraine.
Some days we have some stability, and then the next day there is an event, an issue, a drone impact, or like today, we had one of the two existing power lines down, which means that the station is again on the verge of being on a blackout. So I would tend to agree when we say that the situation is very serious indeed.
Grossi has also vowed to expand IAEA inspections to include critical electrical supplies. He has repeatedly highlighted the vulnerability of Ukraine's energy infrastructure because of Russian attacks. This is VOA News. The World Health Organization says it is ahead of its targets for polio vaccinations in Gaza. Day three of a mass campaign, and they have inoculated about a quarter of the children under 10 in the enclave. The campaign, which was sped up after the discovery of the first polio case in a Gazan baby last month, relies on daily 8-hour pauses in fighting between Israel and Hamas militants in specific areas of the besieged enclave. Speaking to reporters in Geneva remotely, WHO representative for the occupied Palestinian territories, Rick Peeperkorn, told reporters their teams had vaccinated more than 161,000 people under 10 in the central area of Gaza in the first 2 days of the campaign, compared to a projection of around 150,000.
Again, this is only so this area-specific humanitarian pauses, until now they work. We, of course, expect that this will continue and that all parties, et cetera, will contribute to this and to make sure that we can continue. We still have 10 days to go, at least.
Peeperkorn said the health teams will move into southern Gaza later this week, where they are aiming to reach some 340,000 children. Russian President Vladimir Putin was in Mongolia on Tuesday with no sign that the host country would bow to calls to have him arrested on an international warrant for alleged war crimes stemming from the military operation in Ukraine. The trip is Putin's first to a member country of the International Criminal Court since it issued the warrant about 18 months ago. Ukraine has called on Mongolia to hand Putin over to the court, and the European Union had expressed concern Mongolia might not execute the warrant. AP correspondent Mike Corder said it's not the first time an International Criminal Court member failed to arrest a wanted suspect.
In 2015, then Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir went to South Africa despite a warrant for charges including genocide in his country's Darfur region. The court could do nothing and eventually in 2017 ruled that South Africa should have arrested him. But
across the Amazon region, communities are facing isolation due to lower river navigability. Residents cannot travel to buy food, crops, are being harmed, and fish are killed when streams dry up. Reuters correspondent Fiona Jones reports.
Some parts have dried up completely. Following last year's record drought and less than usual rainfall this year, residents can't travel to buy food, and neither can barges carrying grain for export. Crops are being harmed, as are the fish that are killed when streams dry up. This is greatly impacting riverside communities that live from fishing. The Brazilian Geological Service, or SGB, has warned that water levels have been falling since June.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.